Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
It's The Amazing Show, featuring the amazing James Randi. For more information on all things Randi, including the Million Dollar Challenge, head to randi.org.
Hello and welcome to The Amazing Show. I'm Justin Robert Young from iTricks.com and TalkingHeadTV.com. And joining me as always is the man who makes the show in the Isaac Asimov Library of the James Randi Educational Foundation. It is James Randi.
Hello all.
How you doing? It's been a while since we've done a podcast.
That's very true. It's we've been neglecting our vast audience out there. I know we're champing at the bit. I'm wondering when another one is coming up. So here we are, folks.
Yes, finally, after a long reprieve. Part of the reason why is because you've been all over the place. You've been traveling literally the globe there. But most recently, what we want to go over is your trip to Dragon Con in Georgia, right?
Yes, in Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia. So explain what is Dragon Con for those listening.
It's a good question.
Know.
It's very hard to answer. It's a mass of, the official count is 37,000 people, I think.
All right.
Yes.
So quite a
but
few.
But it's quite a bit higher than that.
Okay.
And for various reasons, we don't have an official, real-time count of the number of heads, because a lot of them had several. These are
some Zaphod Beetlebrox.
These are people. Wow, hard to describe. Really hard to describe. First of all, I must say the Dragon Con. The first time I've been to it, the first time I'd ever even heard of it, I admit, was quite a surprise to me. It was not what I expected it would be. It was much, much more. And it was much more important than I ever thought it could be.
Oh, okay. What were some of your preconceived notions of what something named Dragon Con would be?
And they tell me with all the costumes all over town and the huge parade that goes on for miles and miles of strange people. Most dressed as Batman or the Joker or Darth Vader or, you know, people that we all know and love from fantasy world. What I had heard sort of inspired me to think, oh, this is a bunch of potheads. And you laugh, but that's the impression I got.
Okay.
They would probably be pretty spaced out and falling all over the place, whatnot. You see, I once opened for Frank Zappa in New York City. And
indeed.
Frank came to me just before I went out to do my little opening bit. it was a one-time, one-shot thing. Somebody couldn't be there. So I stepped in for him and he said, look, these people don't even know their own names, let alone my name. They don't know why they're here. They found tickets in their pockets that they bought years ago and paid a fortune for. And they came in here and they don't know who they are and they don't know where they are. They just got on the subway and came here, or someone put them in a package and dropped them at our doorstep. Said, so don't worry if you don't get any attention. Well, he was absolutely right, because they had no idea that I was there either. And I'm dangling in a straitjacket with the music going and such, and they're puking up in the aisles and carrying on. I didn't expect Dragon Con to be that.
Okay.
By the way, Zappa was very, very gracious to me, very gracious. He said, you'll get the check, and you'll put it in the bank. And he said, all's well and well done. So he was quite practical about the whole thing. Dragon Con, I sort of expected would be a knockdown, drag-out riot of this kind.
Uh-huh.
And it was not at all. First of all, the class of people represented there was much different from what I thought. I'm not going to say higher or lower or anything, but much different. There were people from every walk of life. But
yes.
And this is the most important thing that I observed.
Okay.
A lot of people in wheelchairs, a lot of disabled people.
Okay.
A lot of extremely corpulent people, people in an unhealthily corpulent state, who were suffering from it from a medical point of view, I'm sure. They could barely get around.
Yeah.
Walking with canes, and a lot of them in wheelchairs. These are misfits, Justin. They are misfits who fit when they're at Dragon Con, and they fit with this milieu. They're at home. No one questions their existence or their appearance or their behavior at all. And I would see a tall anorexic woman dressed as the Sugar Plum Fairy or whatever, with the wings and the high tottering heels and whatnot, pushing around a wheelchair with a huge gentleman in it who was barely coherent.
Yeah.
And I somehow knew that these people hadn't arrived necessarily together, but they were helping one another. Everyone helped everybody else. No one had any kind of a disability or an unusual factor in their lives or a difference in appearance or in attitude or whatever that other people didn't understand and accommodate to immediately.
Gotcha.
These are misfits who are not misfits when they're there. Now, again, I'm trying to not be unkind by calling them misfits. A lot of them are. Many are not. I think the majority of them are not.
Quite a few self-identifying.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. But I think it's a hell of a thing. I enjoyed myself from the moment that I set foot in one of the five hotels in Atlanta that were jam-packed. Five full hotels. And they weren't all staying at those hotels, but the traffic on the street of everything from wheelchairs and Darth Vader's bumping into people because they couldn't see through the mask and capes and wands and lightsabers and everything you could imagine. It was fantasy world come to life, and it was really right there in the streets of Atlanta and in the lobbies of the hotels and in the restaurants everywhere. It saturated the atmosphere entirely. And I was never happier because I began to think, wait a minute, I'm a bearded magician, 80 years of age. If that isn't a misfit, I don't know what is, you know? So I belonged.
Yeah,
I belonged,
yeah.
And I fell right in with everybody. And the first breakfast I had there after recovery the first day, it takes a while to recover. And you never quite do. I still am not recovered, and it's been several days now. But the first breakfast I had, there was one gentleman in a wheelchair who suffered from acromegaly. I won't get into all the details of that, but it's a very interesting affliction. I say interesting because it's the way it struck me. Now, I've known people with acromegaly before, and it's an unfortunate condition. But I looked at it as an interesting condition because we talked about it.
Yeah.
And other people at the table talked about it and said, oh, really? Is that so? That's the way it affects you. And a couple of other people there, one fella who hardly said a word all through breakfast, but smiled a lot and nodded and such. And then finally, when everybody left, he stayed behind at the table. And then he had a private word with me, just saying that he always wanted to meet me. And the work that I do is very important, etc. And he just gave me a little bow and he walked away. And I thought that I had served a function because I met him on his own ground with his own folks and such. And he conquered. He won.
Yeah.
And that's important that you help people to win over some sort of advantage that they might not normally have. Dragon Con was a tremendous experience for me. And I want to do it next year and the year after because, and this is another important reason, they had several skeptical groups meeting.
Yeah, and actually, as I understand Dragon Con, it's not exactly in the same way that they would have, like, you know, a Star Trek or Star Wars or even
true.
A sci-fi kind of con.
True.
It is very compartmentalized
yes,
in terms of
is.
What
yes.
it is. It's several yeah. kind of cons in one umbrella sort yeah. of organization. So there was its own break-off skeptic.
Yeah, you had enough in each group of Darth Vaders. You could make a whole
yeah.
a whole conference of Darth
guys
Vaders.
Guys dressed
alone.
Like Darth Vaders in yeah. various weight classes could actually
in various
off
voices like this. Yes. No, you're absolutely right on that. Mm-hmm. And the skeptical groups that were meeting all the time. Now, Phil Plait was there with me. Michael Shermer, most of the important people in the skeptical community
hey.
Were there. And for good reason, because the rooms that we were assigned filled up immediately, and there were people standing around the walls. The fire marshals were having fits, of course, and they were standing out in the halls.
Well,
they
yeah,
had to be turned away.
That's what happens when you guys bring the A-team like that. You can't
there
just
you
roll in with Randy, Plait, and Shermer and expect
there
not to
go.
Fill the room.
Yeah, it was really very heartening, and we got excellent comments and questions, really excellent. People paid attention to what we told them, what we said to them. And we paid close attention to their questions and their commentaries. Made a lot of new friends, a lot of new friends for the skeptical movement and for the JREF in particular. And then I found out the most astonishing thing, they were all reading Swift and such every week.
Really?
They tune in and they read Swift and they listen to the podcasts. Oh, podcasts all over the place. I did so many recordings.
Really?
And posed for so many pictures and such and videos. My room was constantly filled. It was a little studio. They gave me a suite because they realized that it would be pretty busy.
Yeah, yeah.
So
all right. So can you give us a description of some of the podcasts that you recorded? What was maybe the oddest ones that kind of like stick out? Were they all skeptic or were there maybe things outside the realm?
Yeah, there were. Most of them were in the skeptical vein. But we did one thing on the $1 Million Challenge, and we sat in an auditorium that I think had its own mayor and fire department. I swear that was in the Marriott, I guess it was. Enormous room. They said it was the biggest freestanding auditorium in the country or something, and I can believe it was. They had different weather at the other end. There were clouds forming down there. We escaped the rain, however. The earthquake hit our end.
Yeah.
But we didn't fill the place, not by any means. No, not at all. But we had many hundreds of people there in a very, very large crowd. And they were, many of the questions were the same. Now, you can understand that.
Yeah.
How did it all start? Why this, that, the other thing? But we did it on the $1 Million Challenge, and we actually did some dowsing demonstrations with people who thought that they might be able to douse, and they stepped forward, and we gave them the dowsing rods. And
particularly dowsy that day.
Yes. But actually, the one fellow who did complete the dowsing test there did better than chance expectation.
Huh.
Now, I didn't qualify him for the $1 Million, not by any means. But he did better than chance expectation. So that was interesting and very very welcome, as a matter of fact. We like to show that people can do this
odds. That is a very interesting part of the whole scientific testing thing, is to understand that there are things that lie outside what you might predict that make it seem fantastical. I mean, that's almost the basis, the backbone of a lot of these kind of frauds.
Yeah, we could give the 20-minute lecture on the bell-shaped curve, but we'll forego that, I think, for another occasion. But it was really very interesting to see the people's reaction. And then, of course, as it happened, the last questioner stood up there and said, well, Jill McClendon has taken your challenge. And all a pack of lies. He has not taken the challenge, and he won't respond to the offer and such. All kinds of misinformation. But these are things that people prefer to believe. We get this all the time.
Yeah.
I get it on email every day. People would say, well, I understand that the prize was won several times and you refused to award it. Things like this. These are just canards that are floating around. And people say, oh, that sounds like a good thing I should believe in order to have going.
And it's so funny. Maybe it's because I've personally known and been friends with so many people that have run the challenge. But I know you have a very patient staff of people who meticulously pour through emails and go through so much of their day trying to get these things, the I's dotted and the T's crossed.
Yep.
It's always so silly.
It's really something. So in summing up, and it's very hard to sum up DragonCon, I can assure you, we had a hell of a time. It was really very interesting. I met a lot of interesting and valuable people and made a lot of new friends, I'm sure, posed for endless pictures and videos. It was quite something, and I haven't gotten over it yet. It takes a long time to cool down after an event like that, but Atlanta, Georgia will never look the same to me again. And I spoke to one of the security men on the way down in the elevator, and they put on a lot of extra security people. He told me that they never have any problems. He said there's never any riotous behavior or anything.
Yeah.
He said we expected all kinds of problems, the weird people like this. And I said, so they are weird people. And he said, oh, yeah, they're weird. He said, but they're very nice and very cooperative, and we get along just fine with them. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
That's always good to hear. Maybe they behave better than they do at the average TAM. I'm not sure, but
exactly. The legendary rioting behavior happens at all the amazing meetings.
There were a lot of late night parties that I did not attend purposely. I was in bed by 10:30 at my ripe old age.
Yeah.
So that I could get up in the morning. And as you know, it's a resurrection every morning now when I get up. It's always, damn, I made another night, you know, kind of thing. I really ate the thing up. I was down early in the morning because I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anybody hanging around in the lobby. And always people would cluster around me and drag me off to the restaurant. I'd have two or three breakfasts sometimes. I drank enough coffee to float the entire conference, I think, in a big boat. But the hotel was very cooperative. They were very pleased to have everybody there because, as the head waiter told me, he said, oh, these are the very best behaved people. He said, we don't have any drunks. We don't have any fights. We don't have anything going on here. And a misunderstanding every now and then, complained about the menu. Okay, that's what happens.
Yeah, to be expected with so many people coming in and, in and out.
So many people, and some of them very demanding, too. They needed certain diets and whatnot. Yeah. So that's understandable. Dragon Con, thumbs up, 100%. Great, great gathering. Lovely folks. And I didn't meet every one of them. would have taken a long time.
I was going to ask you, did you get a chance to enjoy the con yourself? Did you catch any other
I was so busy. I was invited to join all kinds of things that I wasn't scheduled to join when they found out that I was there.
Yes.
And
so you were there as part of one of the conferences, the James Randi...
I was one of the visiting celebrities.
Gotcha. And, yeah, because you were on the website.
Yeah, I finally got to meet George Takei
as
well, yes, and a very pleasant gentleman.
I was going to ask you if you had any run-ins with the... because it has... I mean, I'm sure the website's still up. You can see some of the people that were there. But,
They're there.
I mean, sci-fi actors from, every show you could possibly imagine.
Oh, yes, and
so.
I didn't get to meet... Oh, goodness, what am I thinking? Batman, Adam West.
Adam West.
Yes,
okay.
I didn't meet that, but he went by me in the Batmobile, of course.
Nice.
The parade. The parade was.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, you can't begin to understand when you got the white costumed stormtroopers or whatever the hell they are from Star Wars.
Yes.
Yeah. A mass of them. There had to be 200 of them, all
marching
looking identical with their weapons and such. I don't know how they got on flights. I mean, they had to ship all this stuff ahead. There was one kid, looked like about 14 or so, who did a Transformer thing where he stood there looking like a pile of curtains, and then suddenly he would just drop down and fold out, and he was a tank.
Yes, yes. There are some great YouTube videos of guys.
Oh, yes,
like that. Yeah.
Yes. I'm sure that gets up on YouTube as soon as it happens.
That's amazing, though, that they're...
Just astonishing, yes. I use the word astonishing rather than amazing, as you probably know.
Well, you know.
Yes, yes. That's reserved specifically for moi.
Yeah, yes. Trademark James Randi.
Anyway, Dragon Con next year. Can't wait.
So everybody, schedule your vacations accordingly.
Well, for part of it, I'm going to be in England, so
we're
going to have to work some adjustments there. But nonetheless, it'll work.
Questions, comments, suggestions? Email randi@itricks.com.
itricks.com.